This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. After tearing it up in Nashville for years, Winston-Salem native Sarah Siskind is now a Virginia-based singer-songwriter living up there with her family in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains. Southern Living magazine calls Sarah Nashville's best new voice, but her music transcends category. It's a fantastic blend of the traditional and modern, and it's in high demand. Alison Krauss has recorded her songs, as have Randy Travis, Paul Brady, and many others. Bonnie Raitt considers Sarah one of her favorite singers and songwriters, and Justin Vernon of Bon Iver considers her a vocal teacher. Last year, Justin's label re-released Sarah's first album from 2003 titled Covered, and we're sampling from the title track right now. Where do you go when you are feeling inspired? It's been a triumphant return for Sarah Siskind. For years, she battled sinus issues, resulting in a string of surgeries that prevented her from touring. But she's back on tour now with her CD, Novel. And Thursday afternoon, June 5th, she'll be live in concert at Rinalda House's Summertime Social Backyard Barbecue and Brews.
Where is the shelter when your building is burning?
When I sing any song, whether it be for an intimate gathering or for a large theater, I think, you know, I have to go back to the state I was in when I wrote the song and reconnect to the story that it's about. And that's something that's really, I think, powerful about original music. You know, folks that write their own songs is that they created the story that the song is about, so when they perform it, it's as close to them, more close to them than anyone else. And so that's what I do. Each song is sort of like a play or a moment in time that I created when I wrote the song. So during performance, I just transport back to that moment. And quite a few of the songs are sad and on the intense side, but you know, each song was written for a reason. As far as, you know, I'm concerned as the writer, I mean, every song comes out either from an experience or from, you know, watching a friend go through something or a family member go through something. I've written a lot of songs about people who are close to me or people that I care about. I transport back to that story when I sing the song.
Is that transporting back difficult ever? And how does it morph over or evolve over time?
Yeah, it can be difficult. I think with Lovin's for Fools, that's a good song to point out as far as a song that I wrote a while ago that is still, you know, floating around in the universe. I had that song come out on an album, oh, I can't even remember now, I think it was 2004, an album called Studio Living Room, and it was a sad breakup song and about parting ways and other things, you know, just a lot of things that I think everyone can relate to. And even though songs can be sad when I write them, they also can be healing for me. But I had someone discover that song, Justin Vernon, who is Bon Iver, and he took that song and started performing it in his shows with Bon Iver. And then they blew up and became, you know, a very popular band. And that song has taken a life, you know, taken on a life of its own because he introduced it to so many people. And I get requested to sing that song all the time now, mostly because Justin sang it with Bon Iver. And it's interesting, even though the song itself is pretty heartbreaking, I enjoy singing it now because it has really, I've just heard so many stories from his fans who have found me, who have told me how much the song has meant to them and that it's been a healing story for them. I had a couple come to a show of mine once and they had the lyrics tattooed on their arm, and that was probably the craziest thing that anyone's ever done so far with one of my songs. But So now, when you ask about it evolving over time, it brings me joy to sing it because so many people have been moved by it. So it's really interesting how it has sort of a double meaning, and quite a few of my songs do that.
Well, go on and love her forever. I will not tell her you told me to. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Loving's for fools. Loving.
You just mentioned Justin Vernon, and I wanted to point out for listeners that, I mean, singer-songwriters like Alison Krauss have recorded a couple of your songs, Randy Travis another. For anyone who's written music and tried to break into the scene, that's an amazing achievement. I'm wondering, could you put that in perspective and being in the Nashville scene and cutting through like that?
Oh, I still pinch myself every day. I'm extremely, extremely grateful that my songs made their way to the ears of folks like Allison and Justin. I spent 14 years in Nashville, and I met people every day who had just moved there. I mean, trying to be in the music business and either write a hit song or become a star singer, I mean, it's just infiltrated with that, activity of folks coming to be heard. And, what's really magical about how it happened for me is that I wasn't pursuing the goal of getting my songs recorded by other people. I had only lived in Nashville for a couple of years when Allison heard me, and I was still getting my feet wet and meeting musicians, and I was still discovering who I was as an artist, because I'd written so many songs, but they were across so many genres that as an artist, I was still trying to decide exactly what sound I had and all these things. So I just played a lot of shows. That's what I did. I did a lot of writers' nights and a lot of concerts, and it all unfolded organically that a friend of a friend heard me sing at a club in Nashville, and she was a great close friend of Allison's, and she heard me sing and just thought Allison should hear me, and she came up to me afterwards and asked if she could give some of my songs to Allison, and of course I said yes, and that's how it happened. And once Allison recorded one of my songs, things just sort of snowballed from there, and it was because of that song that I built my career on, because of it happening. It wasn't the other way around. I'm very lucky that it happened that way, but it's also, to this day, sometimes when I'm pushing myself, or being hard on myself because I'm not maybe achieving something that I want to achieve, I remind myself I landed in this spot organically because I was doing what I loved, and I wasn't doing it for the wrong reason. I was writing songs, and I was playing my songs for people. And really, that was all that I was doing at the time. And because I was doing what I needed to do, the stars aligned, and that path was opened to me to be able to make a career out of it. And here I am. Gosh, it's been at least 10 years, maybe 12 years now, I've been doing this for a living. And like I said, I pinch myself every day that I'm able to do it.
You know, when I hear a song, like I'm going to give another example, Sarah, Falling Stars, I'm thinking of the line, I thought I could do it all better on my own, burn it down and build it back up. For me, as a listener and someone who appreciates, as anyone, I mean, I'm a music lover. I hear just simple, direct, clear writing, And I'm wondering what sort of feedback you got from someone like Allison about your writing, or what struck her particularly, or Randy Travis?
Well, Allison has just been so wonderful to me, and I think she's said some things to me along the same lines of what you just said, that I am, lyrically, I tend to not use very much fluff, and I just cut right to the core of what I'm trying to sing about. I mean, I still like to be poetic, but when I sit down to write a song, if I can help it, I really try and clear my mind and really honor the song and the story that I want to tell and not think of anything else as far as how would this be perceived or what should I say here. And I try and silence that voice and really just trust that if I'm sitting down to write a song about something, that it's a story that I need to tell. And that method has really worked well for me, and I think that it creates a type of honesty in my writing.
I thought I could make it better on my own. Everything in the backseat. I thought I could make it there ahead of the storm. No perils I would need. But the
What's it like being on the road with Bonnie Raitt?
Oh, it's just unlike anything else in the world. Some of the best days and nights of my life. I was 6 months pregnant on that tour, so I it was surreal. You know, I was dealing with being pregnant and all the emotions and, you know, insomnia and all the things that go with that, on top of being with one of my heroes every day and getting to go out and actually sing some with her on stage. I hardly have words to explain what a gem she is. She's a true artist and a true entertainer, performer, singer, but the way that she treats people on the road, not just people she knows, but fans, people she doesn't know. She just has respect for people and is so kind. And I really, really learned a lot from being on the road with her. Huge thrill.
I've been too long at the fair. And Lord, I just can't stand it anymore.
Did you grow up in Winston-Salem, or what time did you spend in this?
I did.
You
born
grew
and
up
raised.
In, how about that?
Yeah.
What does it give you, kind of, in terms of your worldview on music, for lack of a better way of putting it?
Oh yeah. Well, definitely. I feel like I've come full circle. You know, moving back to this part of the country, I'm in Central Virginia now, and I'm just about 3 hours due northeast of Winston now. So, gosh, I think, you know, it's common with anybody who grows up somewhere and just wants to move away and then they move away and then they appreciate all the things that were there. And so I definitely, now that I'm an adult, I think back on all the wonderful musical things that happened in the Winston-Salem area, just there in the state of North Carolina. You know, my parents, they had a bluegrass band. They also played Celtic music. But they took me to bluegrass festivals, fiddling conventions, and, you know, I grew up listening to WFDD, and when I was 14 years old, I played there with Doc Watson and Maya Angelou, one of my best memories, so I'm very partial to WFDD.
Oh, what a great memory that is. Was that back in the Paul Brown days?
Yes, it was.
From all across.
He was a good friend of my parents. So.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we'll look forward to welcoming you back home when you get here. And thanks so much, Sarah.
Not a sparrow in the mountains, out of sight.
Winston-Salem native singer-songwriter Sarah Siskin. Her new album, Novel, is available on iTunes, and you'll find links to more at WFDD.org, and click on Triad Arts Weekend. You'll find her re-release CD covered there as well. But you can also hear Sarah live in concert, and in one of this area's finest outdoor venues to boot, at the beautiful, shaded Rolling Hills backyard of Rinalda House Museum of American Art. On Thursday, June 5th from 6 to 9, Sarah will be performing at Rinalda's Summertime Social Backyard Barbecue and Brews. This wonderful annual event celebrates the beginning of summer with live music, barbecue samples, beer tastings, games on the lawn, and plenty of arts activities. Tickets are just $15. Kids 5 and under get in free, and you'll find more information on our website, WFDD.org, and click on Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and when we return from this little break, it'll be time to get back in touch with a good old friend. Amigo, the band, is back, and Eddie Garcia gets up close and personal with Amigo guitarist-singer Slade Baird next when Triad Arts Weekend continues.
Right, I'm an eagle, not a sparrow. I'm a shepherd, not a soldier. In the mountains, out of sight.